Hello, and welcome to an episode of Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name's Amanda.
And we are here back another week, just vibing.
This is episode 143.
143. What does that mean?
I love you.
What?
What?
Oh, because like one eye, yeah. Four, three. Okay.
You don't remember when you would do that, like when you had AIM?
I never did that.
You never said 143 to somebody when you were exiting off AIM?
No, we would say olive juice.
Wow. Okay.
Because it looks like I love you.
Yeah.
When you say olive juice. So we would say olive juice to each other.
Different strokes for different folks.
You're acting like I had friends when AIM was around. That was when I was severely in my awkward phase, and I would just get on late at night and tell boys at my church that I was in love with them.
And you could have said 143.
I probably would have been cooler than whatever I was doing.
I miss those days.
I do not. I am so much better now.
I mean, yeah, obviously. If I could go back in time and know what I know now, wow. Can you imagine? We'd be killing
it. I'd probably still fail.
You think?
Yeah.
I feel like I would slay, baby.
There's something about like a tween, young teen girl. They just don't like me. They still don't like me. You know, like I'm supposed to be cool. Like I'm cool now. I have like tattoos and yeah. I'm like, you know, I have like a cool job. I'm a podcaster.
Yeah.
And like still very intimidating to be around like an eighth grade girl.
Oh, they love me.
Yeah. They have no interest in me.
Well.
They didn't back then. They don't now. And you know what? God bless them. It's the way it should be.
Cheers to that,
cheers
baby.
To that. Yeah, big week over here at DTK Studios, Inc.
Yeah? What'd you do?
I just, like, sat around a lot. Actually, that's not true. I went to the gym almost every day this week.
You did.
I think I did go to the gym every day this week.
You're getting that big ol' ass this year.
I'm trying to get the signature Amanda Goodness booty.
The juicy booty.
Uh-huh. I'm working real hard on that.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I do realize I hate gym culture and I hate people who go to the gym.
Same. Well, you have like the two types of people, right? You have the people that are actually trying to work out and like be gym heads. And then you have the other people that aren't really trying to do it. They're just like looking at everybody else, I feel like.
No, see, I feel like there's two types of people. There's the people who go to the gym because they want to like show off how fit they are. We call those, you know, those are like the fitfluencers or whatever.
Ooh.
And then there's like the people who go to the gym who are like me, who are like, I'm just here because I'm trying to better myself a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to get a six pack. I'm not trying to be the hottest thing in the world. I'm just trying not to die at 47 of a heart attack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have now encountered the worst people in the world. And those are the people who bring a tripod for their cameras to the gym.
Oh, yeah. You had a very traumatic thing happen to you.
Okay, I get it that some people like to go to the gym and, like, do their hair and do their makeup and, like, whatever. I don't get the point of that because when I go to the gym, I sweat like fucking crazy and I'm going to jump in the shower anyway. So I go to the gym looking like a piece. You know what I mean?
It's influencer culture, you know what I mean? Like the TikTok culture.
Well, it's just, the gym is a very... And I get it now why people are, like, intimidated by the gym. I never got that. I'm like, who cares? Just go to the gym.
Yeah.
You're there to work out and you leave. I get it now because back when I used to go to the gym, I went to a boxing gym for a long time, and that's a very, very different setting, obviously. So I hadn't been to a traditional gym in a very long time. And back when I used to go to the gym, that was, like, pre-influencer culture. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how bad it was now.
Yeah.
People legit film themselves doing everything. They bring tripods to the gym to film themselves. I was on the treadmill in, like, the last 15 minutes. I did, like, an hour workout on the treadmill, like, some walking, some running, kind of this, like, combo thing, just trying to get moving for an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. At the end of it, very, very sweaty, hair all over the place, like, exhausted, panting like a dog. I only have 15, 20-ish minutes left. And this girl who is in a full face of makeup, whatever, do your thing. If you like to wear makeup to the gym, that's your thing. You know, hair done, matching, sweat. Suit thing, like,
oh,
little.
I love a matching.
I love them. They're super cute,
or
but
whatever.
And it was like a, you
like
know,
a like bra and
bra
a
and pants or whatever. very, very cute. I have nothing against any of that, but like very much put together. And then she pulls out a tripod and sets it up so she can film herself running on the treadmill. Mind you, I'm on the treadmill right next to her. So who's going to be in the background of her looking like a, you know, like a Nike commercial with her full face of makeup on, hair done perfectly, blown out ponytail, matching thing, whatever. And then there's like me in the background wearing an extra large men's t-shirt and shorts and like red face.
Yeah, tomato.
And I'm just like, and she pulled it out and sets it up. And I'm like, I can clearly see that I'm in this shot.
Yeah.
And so I had to stop my workout because I was too uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't want to be in the back of your TikTok, lady. Like, this is not cool. Like, I feel like that should not be allowed. Like, if you're one of those people, check yourself. If the gym's empty or you really can't see anyone else in the background, that's fine. But, like, what are you doing? That's so rude, right?
Next time, you smash it like a hammer.
So I wanted to say, like, hey, could you not set that up right there, like, with me in the background? But she's literally recording, and I didn't want to end up on TikTok as the gym Karen or something stupid because she would edit it to make it seem like I'm just trying to video my workout and this mean lady in her extra large men's t-shirt yelled at me and like
and then it's just you looking like a little gremlin.
Yeah, like either way I was not gonna look good whether I stayed or I tried to tell her to turn it off. Like, there was no winning.
Yeah,
but it just sucked because like that is really intimidating, and it made me feel really discouraged and like really bad because I'm like, wow, I had to cut my workout short because this other person like really really needed to video themselves running on the treadmill. That's not even like some things I get. Like, if you video yourself like doing certain workouts because you need to make sure your form's right, like you're running on the treadmill.
She was probably doing one of those like time lapse.
Yeah, I'm sure she was doing like a day in the life of like, oh, watch me, I'm at my gym routine, like whatever. And I get it. Make your money. I don't care. Like, don't be rolling up to the gym for poor people doing that. Go to your rich people gym.
Yeah, go to the Equinox.
Go to Equinox, because everyone there is ready for it. You know
what
I mean?
That's so true.
Half of them probably are influencers.
You're right. They only influencers can afford that.
Don't come to my $23 a month gym, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That has, like, half-broken equipment.
Isn't that a new gym?
No, it closed during COVID.
And they just transferred everything.
But they just transferred all this stuff over to a new, like, spot. But, yeah, it's all, like,
let me transfer this broken item.
Like, I literally went to go get on one of those stationary bikes the other day, and it was just, like, missing a whole pedal.
Oh,
and I was like, nice. But, yeah, like, that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm, like, sitting there thinking, like, okay, this is, I'm going to be okay here.
Yeah.
No.
You're never safe.
I'm never safe. You're never safe from the influencers.
You're not. You never know where they're going to pop up.
I just feel like the gym.
And they're going to pull a tripod out of what?
A tripod.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, that's not even like a, oh, you're doing a little selfie thing. Like, whatever. You're planning on recording the entire time you're working out.
Yeah.
This is bonkers. You know what? More power to you. Go to the gym. But please just be considerate if you're going to be setting up a friggin' tripod at a busy gym. Like, you're going to get people in the background who don't want to be in your shit. You know what I mean? And once again, the gym is just an inherently embarrassing place to be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be there.
I agree. That's why I'm glad I don't go to the gym anymore.
Yeah. I just, but, you know, I'm trying.
You're doing great, sweetie.
Thank you. I'm trying my hardest.
Speaking of you're doing great, sweetie,
mm-hmm.
my mother,
mm-hmm.
who is now a huge Drinking the Kool-Aid fan.
Oh, she finally got in. Annette, what's up?
Annette. She gets it. She figured it out. She couldn't figure it out for a while. It was touch and go. She was like, how do I find this? Can my Alexa do this for me? Didn't understand.
But the Alexa plays a different Drinking the Kool-Aid.
It does. But she calls me today and she's like, you know, I just have to tell you, I'm sorry, but I just really liked Cassidy's story more last week than yours. And I was like, that's okay. I'm not offended. And she was like, I don't know. Like, yours just left me wanting more. And I was like, okay, mom.
Like, I love it.
I think what I've figured out is that she's a true crime girly.
Oh, okay.
I think she likes those stories. And I don't think she likes an unsolved mystery.
Okay. I do a lot of unsolved mysteries, though.
Yeah, but she definitely, I think she's a true crime girl.
Okay, Annette.
True
crime girly.
Yeah,
I love it.
She's a big
you.
Fan of Cassidy.
Listen.
Not so much Amanda.
You know
it's
what?
Fine.
This makes sense because my mom always like texts me like nice things about you and is always like, oh, I just loved, Amanda was so funny in this. Amanda's getting so confident doing her thing. Like, always, like, and don't worry, don't get me wrong, my mom also says great and nice things about me, but I feel like this is our trade-off.
Yeah. I mean, my mom obviously is a huge Amanda fan as well.
Yes, of course, but I just like this for us. like our moms just do a little tradesies when it comes to the podcast.
I just thought it was so funny. She was like, no offense. I was like, none taken. But mom.
Here's why. It's probably both of our mothers are tired of listening to us after 30 years of it. They're like, shut up. Give me anybody else, please. God.
Literally. And I call my mom 7 times a day.
You really do.
I know. Insane. I called her this morning. I go, why haven't you called me in 3 days? She was like, I tried to FaceTime you yesterday. You didn't answer.
If someone tried to FaceTime me, I would disappear. I would literally go on the lam if people were just FaceTiming me.
Well, she tried to FaceTime me because my mom has like this little side hustle where she is a little dog watcher now. So she watches people's dogs. And she tries to FaceTime me to show me the cute dogs that she's watching.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which they're cute.
They are.
Yeah.
Amanda just constantly sends me 1 million unhinged text messages every morning.
I literally thought you were going to hate my guts the other morning when you woke up. I think you did a little.
No, I didn't. I only got mad. So I woke up to 164 text messages between her and our other best friend, Kate. So like Kate's own message thread, Amanda's own message thread, and then about 100 of them
in our group
chat. The group chat that is just the three of us. And the enemies chat.
That's right.
And they wake up really, really early. I have a horrible sleep schedule. I do this thing where like I fall asleep at like 10, 11-ish, whatever. I usually wake up around 4. I'm usually like awake for like 2 hours at like 4 a.m. And then I fall back asleep at like 6, 6:30, 7. And then I wake back up at 10.
Yeah, it's a lot going on.
Yeah. And well, or like 9:30-ish, but then I like to stay in bed till 10. And I try not to look at my phone like first thing in the morning. People say it's good for you. I don't know. I still feel like shit, but
it hurts my eyes.
Yeah.
But I do it.
So I wake up to all these text messages, and so I respond. The last text they had sent as a unit at this point was like seriously 7 minutes before I say something. And so I go, okay, what's going on? What do you guys need from me? Because they were like both like battle texting me, like insane.
And then we were together.
And then they were together. And then nobody answers me for like 15 minutes. And I'm going, hello, I'm awake. You guys were like, oh my God, we need Cassidy to wake up to like solve this like huge problem we're all having. And then no one's answering me. And so I like three-way call them.
I was driving.
You get a pass because you were driving.
Thank you.
Kate does not get a pass. That bitch had her phone.
She did. In her lap.
In her lap. Because she answered when I called. So I finally call and I go, what the fuck? I'm like yelling at them. And they're both just like, they're in the middle of ordering Dunkin' Donuts. And so I could just hear, oh, sorry. Can I get like a medium, sugar-free vanilla pump? And turns out they had it all solved by the time that I finally woke up. And then Kate told me 4 times how her dog had gotten out of her crate that morning. It was unhinged.
When you were like, yes, Kate, I know. Poppy got out of her crate. You've told me 4 times now. And then when you were hanging up, you said, oh, wait, Kate, did Poppy get out of her crate?
Poor Kate. She has like mommy brain, but just like for dogs.
For dogs.
It's crazy.
And cats.
And cats, yeah. Yeah. Oh man, it was an intense like what was it, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning?
No, it was Friday.
What day is it? That was yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Today's Saturday.
I gotta tell you one thing. The days are so long. There's just so much time in the day.
I think they could be longer personally.
Oh my God. I could go to the, especially now that like I do things, like I go to the gym, like I'll be like, okay, I was at the gym for 2 hours. Like that's such a large amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll like come home and I'll be like, it's 1 p.m. What now?
And then what do you do?
And I like kick around the house a little. Watch the telly. Sometimes like if I'm really bored, I'll cook like an elaborate meal that takes a long time to do. Been really into beef stroganoff lately.
I know. And you sent me the whole recipe.
It's a good recipe.
Have I made it? No.
You probably won't ever do it.
Challenge accepted.
See? I'm nagging you.
Oh my God. How'd you do that?
It's a little thing that I like to call reverse psychology. Maybe you heard of it.
Did you trademark that?
Basically, nobody steal my idea.
Yeah,
this is totally
trademark or what? Reverse psychology.
This is totally my idea, guys.
Don't take it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what I do all day. I don't know. Look at my phone.
All I do is go to work, and then I come home, and then I put on my sweats, and then I do the same thing the next day.
The problem is I can do, like, a lot of my work from my phone, and so I will do it while I'm, like, on the stationary bike at the gym or, like, walking on the treadmill. And so, like, I basically work for 2 hours while I'm at the gym, right? Because otherwise, it's, like, that's what distracts me so that I don't get, like, bored just, like, working out. Working out is so boring. I don't get people who, like it. I wish I liked it.
I like it.
It does not feel good.
Once I'm doing it, it's fine.
See, I do not. I'm the whole time, I'm like, what if I just quit 10 minutes early? Like, I'm so evil.
It's kind of like sex. Like, I don't want to start, but once I'm doing it, it's fine. It's a good time.
That's great for you because I love sex and I hate working out. So I cannot really.
I just don't like to start something. Like, I'd rather just, like, lay in bed and be comfortable.
See, I have, like, no issue getting to the gym. It's like, I always want to, like, cut my workout short. I'm always like, I could just leave. Who's going to tell?
Oh, no. Once I'm in it, I'm in it to win it.
See, I wish I was like that. I am just not. I just really don't care about working out. It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't make your mood better?
No.
Then why are you doing it?
It makes me sleep like shit. Like, literally, I sleep so bad. I sleep worse now since I've been working out.
Something's wrong here.
Bro, I got, like, reversed by God or something. Wow. They're like, you know all the stuff that's supposed to make people feel good makes you feel bad?
God stole your...
My serotonin?
Your reverse psychology.
Fuck.
Oh, my God.
Not again.
Jesus. Christ, literally.
I just trademarked that, man. Didn't you hear me?
Oh, my God. God, really stop. Rude. Don't do it.
That's so rude. Maybe I'll like it better, like, once the year gets, like, going further and the gym is less busy.
Oh, yeah. Just give it, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah, because, like, I know January is, like, the busiest time for the gym.
Yeah. They'll start to trickle off. Don't worry.
Because, like, I'm consistent because I'm bored. I don't...
You know, this is a good segue for me to beg people to start referring our pod because I don't want to work anymore. I want to do what Cassidy does. I want to go to the gym and then just dick around and then maybe work a little bit on my phone. That's what I want.
I love to dick around.
I know.
That's basically all I do.
I want that lifestyle. So if people would just refer our podcast a little more.
Tell a friend who tells a friend who tells a friend.
Please. I'm tired. I don't want to go to work.
Oh, well, then you know what we should do right now? We should thank those people who are already actively fucking repping the pod, man.
Yes, let's thank them.
Let's thank some of our new patrons. And just a reminder, if you have joined our Patreon in the last month or so, we do have a backlog. We're not, you know, so we won't probably say your name the week you join. So just keep that in mind. We didn't forget you. We didn't leave you out. We're just... working through them.
We're trying.
We are trying. All right. So welcome to Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Welcome to Jade.
Jade.
Welcome to Mackenzie.
Hi, Mackenzie.
Welcome to Willie.
Willie.
Oh, Willie the Wonderful.
Willie the Cat.
R.I.P.
Oh, yeah.
He got eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a different Willie.
Yeah, this is hopefully not the dead cat, Lily. No, this please. Is just a person, I'm assuming. Welcome to Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
And welcome to Gina.
Gina.
So, a fun story about someone named Gina.
What?
Like I said, I have never been super great at making friends, like, ever when I was a kid. And also, we moved around a little bit when I was a kid, so I never, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have, like, friends that I knew since, like, preschool through high school, like a lot of people do.
I have a Gina.
You do have a Gina.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Gina too.
You do.
But so one of my first real friends growing up, her name was Gina, and she was Italian. And
so
her,
is my Gina.
And her mom would invite me over to have, like, their Sunday pasta dinners.
The best.
And she would put hard-boiled eggs in their pasta sauce, and it was so good, and I think about it all the time. I don't have the confidence to do it myself.
Please.
But Gina, if you find me, does your mom still make the pasta sauce like that? It was so good.
I dare you.
It was so good. And, like, I've never been like, an egg girly. But, like, the hard-boiled egg in the pasta sauce was bomb.
You know who's an egg girly?
You.
Me.
I know you love eggs.
You know who would love for her friend Cassidy, who loves to make sauce, make it?
With a hard-boiled egg in it?
Yeah.
It was so good, man.
Do it. I bet you can do it.
I bet I could. All right. I'll do it. I'll do it for Galentine's Day.
Galentine's. Galentine's.
But thank you guys so much. Patreon is still like the biggest thing that fuels this podcast. So thank you so much for checking it out. I see a couple of you joined at the level where you get a free t-shirt. Everybody gets a little bit of free swag. So be on the lookout for us asking for your address. Make sure you send that over so we can send you fun stuff.
Oh, yes. Please look at your Patreon messages. I beg of thee.
And if you've been a patron of ours for a while and you haven't gotten anything, feel free to message your address because you probably just missed that original welcome message about the address thing. It happens. We get it. And we'll hook you up. Don't worry.
You know I will.
We got you.
We got you,
boo. We got you. But yeah, thank you guys so much for joining. And we hope you're enjoying that sweet, sweet bonus content.
That's right, baby.
Speaking of sweet, sweet things.
Tell me.
We have new merch.
We do.
Amanda's been begging for it forever.
I have. And I can't figure out if I want to buy myself a t-shirt or a crew neck sweatshirt.
I think I'm going to get myself a long sleeve of it.
Oh.
I feel like it looks really sick
it
on the long sleeve.
It does look sick.
So the design is a photo that I took. Actually, it's not even a photo. I scanned. It was like a whole fucking thing.
It's a whole process.
It was a whole thing.
You don't have to explain
There was a haunted doll involved that was gifted to us from Sierra, right?
Sierra and Alicia.
Sierra and Alicia from Twisted and Uncorked. I did like a scan of that, edited it, photoshopped that shit. It was fucking fun. And now it is on a t-shirt, and you can have your very own cool kid haunted doll t-shirt. Go check it out.
It's really cool. It kind of gives the vibe of like a band tee.
It's very different than any of our other designs.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I'm really stoked on it. So make sure you guys go check that out. I think right now there is a promo code. If you order it the first month where it's live, you can actually get 10% off. So go order that new design. Tag us in it. We want to see it. We're really excited. I'm going to order myself one.
Same.
And go check that out. I'll obviously in the description of this episode, we'll have a link to our website, which has all of our links to our social media, our Patreon, and our new merch. So thanks, guys.
You winded?
Yeah. That was a lot of talking.
Sorry.
That was a real, real long run-on sentence. Commas, never heard of her. Periods, not even close.
We don't know her.
I don't know her.
No.
Never even met her. Maybe like a semicolon at best. But yeah, we're also going to be having some fun new Patreon stuff coming out. We are going to be covering Hellier Season 2. You guys keep asking for it. Yes, it's coming.
It's coming.
We also have a shot of Kool-Aid coming out in the next week and a half. We have a video coming out for Valentine's Day. We have lots of fun stuff coming out, so make sure you go join our Patreon and get all that stuff. You also get all of our episodes ad-free now.
That's right.
Ba-doo.
Wow. Great Patreon marketing.
Thank you.
Done by Cassidy J. Liston.
I'm just doing the best I can.
And you're killing it. I'm just sitting here.
So I also wanted to say thank you to some people who bought us a beer this week. So we have Sophie G, who bought us 3 beers and said, "It's Mancala, pronounced Mancala. It's dope. I prefer to play with the little gems called dragon tears. Anyway, I'm a nurse and I have no buffer. Amanda's rugby story had me rolling. Cheers and cheers to happy tears."
Ah, you love a good poop story.
Yep. Yeah, nurses love those poop stories.
That's so true.
Sam, who is not on Twitter, said, "Listening to the newest episode right now. Big fan of the Mexican pizza. Also, shout out to Taco Bell for being veggie friendly. Here's a round of Mexican pizzas for you both, and hopefully a little treat for the producer, Sydney. Thanks for all you do, and keep it up."
Taco Bell, sponsor us now.
I know, I'm like shocked. Taco Bell, hit us up. You guys.
Yeah, well, we need Audio Boom to connect us. You know, our people talk to their people.
You know what? Get our people in touch. Yeah. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was so much
you
shocking.
Okay?
Yeah. I just talked so much.
I know. Take a sip of your old fashioned.
My old fashioned here.
Your canned old fashioned.
It was in a bottle.
Okay, sorry. Mine was a canned Moscow Mule.
Yours was. Do you need another one?
I might.
Yeah. Well, we'll refill before we get started.
Okay, girl.
But also, before we get started.
What now?
I do just want to say, just because the people who murdered Tyre Nichols on camera got arrested does not mean we are done fighting for justice and police reform and all of that good stuff. I think that it is wonderful that we're actually seeing repercussions this quickly. The video was obviously vile and very shocking. I would not suggest watching it, and I doubt that he would want us watching it. Right. So please, I mean, it's hard to avoid. I literally, it was on the TV at the gym today.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was, they had like CNN on or whatever. But yeah, so I know we talk about police reform a lot on this podcast, so I just didn't want to go without saying anything. And I do think it's really, really difficult to have a podcast about true crime where you are dealing with police investigations so often and not see how blatantly the police lied about this case and then had to own up to it when the story came out. Mm-hmm. And I want to remind everyone that's why it is important to be critical of police narratives, no matter how simple the crime is and whether they're investigating themselves or investigating others. So just keep that in mind as you consume true crime. I think it is a very important part of the process. And I think it will also, in the long run, make true crime a more ethical thing to consume if we are being critical of the official narrative when it comes out. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I hope Tyree Nichols' family gets the justice that they deserve and hopefully a little bit of closure. And
absolutely.
Just something to keep in mind this week.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I don't know. I don't want to, like, make it, once again, we as a podcast, we ride this really weird line mm-hmm. of being like a comedy podcast, but we also do talk about really serious stuff and we do have a platform. So I do feel like we have a little bit of an obligation.
I agree.
To use that in a positive way as much as we can. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And so, like, ignoring stuff while is way easier and way less uncomfortable is probably not the most ethical or correct usage of said platform. You know what I mean? So go fucking hug someone you love and don't forget that the people have the power and the power is to the people. People.
Ooh. Yes.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you. All right. Well, I'm going to get us started today.
Okay.
And I have a big ol' wild one.
I love big and wild. Wet and wild.
All right. So today we're going to be talking about Operation High Jump and Antarctica.
Okay. speaking of high jump, I was a pro high jumper in fifth grade.
Ooh, you were pretty bad, huh?
No, I was a pro.
Oh, you were actually good?
Like, I literally won, like, field day.
I guess that makes sense. You're pretty tall for a lady.
Dude, I won.
Were you a tall kid?
I wouldn't say I was the tallest by any means. I was definitely tall, like, long and length.
Yeah, because you have, like, long legs and stuff. Yeah.
And I was, like, skinny and lanky a little bit. But, yeah, I won the high jump in fifth grade field day. So,
okay, nice.
You're welcome. Operation High Jump.
Operation Amanda.
Amanda goodness.
Yeah, that's right.
Boom.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that I'm going to add that to the end of the story as one of the things now.
Can't wait.
All right, so my sources today were Smithsonian Magazine, Air and Space Magazine, Hitler's Antarctic Base,
what?
Myth Reality by Colin Summerhayes and Peter Beeching, TheBlackVault.com, The Independent, Encyclopedia Britannica, and lots of Wikipedia.
I heard Hitler, so...
Oh, it always comes back to Hitler.
Oh, don't sing that.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Please, no.
Go donate to Wikipedia, they rock. Okay. So Operation High Jump was a U.S. Navy operation that included 4,700 men, 13 separate ships, and 33 different aircrafts being sent down to Antarctica in December of 1946. So right after World War II, they send this fleet down there, and this is headed by Admiral Richard Byrd, and he's, like, a big-time famous guy.
Yeah, he's Admiral,
like,
Byrd.
Yeah, he's, like, super famous. Wait, really? You know who that is?
I swear I know that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he's, like, super famous. He, like, was, like, a big-time explorer. He was like, one of the first people to cross the transatlantic flight across from Europe to America, or vice versa, whatever. He flew over both polar poles, whatever, like the North and the South Pole. And he was like a big time. He was the youngest rear admiral ever. He got awarded that title at 42. He had the Medal of Honor, which is the highest thing that you can get in the military. He served in both World War I and World War II.
Wow.
This guy was big time.
Yeah, I swear I know him.
Yeah, it's like a name that's pretty familiar. Like, you probably talked about him in history class growing up.
Well, I don't remember anything from that.
I know, it's like a deep-seated memory back there. So this is like a really big deal that this guy's getting sent down there with all these people. They have tons of money behind them, and they had a ton of fanfare and excitement around the operation, and it was going to be the United States' first official Antarctic research operation.
Okay.
The official goals, according to the U.S. government, of this operation were to train personnel and test equipment in frigid conditions, and then also try to get a foothold in Antarctica, because technically nobody owns it, right? The U.S. denies this publicly, but it was kind of well known that that's part of why they were trying to do it. They even named their little base Little America. And they were trying to figure out if having a permanent military base on Antarctica could work, like if it was feasible. Antarctica is literally huge. It's bigger than Australia. It is the coldest, driest, and windiest place in the world.
Do people live there?
No, it is the only continent with no native people. Because even in the Arctic, like in the North Pole region, there's native people who live there, indigenous people, like the Inuit and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But Antarctica, no.
Okay.
So most of the world, or most of it, had not been explored, and many countries had kind of tried to lay claim to it at various times, including, like, of course, England, Germany, the Soviets, all different people had kind of, like, sent little expeditions here and there. And so the U.S. was like, our turn. Let's go. Let's do this. So this is a huge deal. There's, like, tons of fanfare around this. And they're like, this operation is supposed to last, like, 8 months. They're going to be down in Antarctica. But from the very start, everything's taking longer than it's supposed to. Like, the original time that this was, like, brought up was in August, and they don't actually end up getting to Antarctica until the late December. And then as soon as they get there, tragedy strikes. So the George 1, which is an aircraft carrying 9 men, crashed on Thurston Island in Antarctica, and 3 of the men died on impact, and the other 6 were left there for 13 days before being found.
What the fuck?
The bodies of the 3 men have never been recovered, and the U.S. government has never been able to identify the crash site, despite seeing it from the air and signaling to the men to get to a nearby lake where they would pick them up.
So the other men were rescued?
Yes. But really weird, they couldn't ever find the crash site again, and they never recovered the 3 bodies of the dead guys.
Okay.
They're actually the most southernmost buried people ever.
But they weren't even buried. They were just they
died on impact, and then their friends who survived buried them in the snow.
Oh.
By February 1947, the fleet was in full retreat, and the operation had been terminated officially. And when asked, the official reason was that the weather was just really bad. When they returned to South America, Admiral Byrd started giving some interviews, and this is where things get a little spicy. So he stated that he believed the U.S. should be concerned about being attacked by aircraft coming from the poles. He literally said, quote, not to scare anyone, but, unquote.
Don't ever say that. If someone said that to me, I would immediately drop dead.
I literally put, that is the best way to scare someone ever. Like, not to scare anyone, but, and then just say, like, the scariest shit you've ever heard.
That's like when I say, I'm not trying to talk shit, but.
And then you just say, like, the meanest thing you've ever thought in your whole life.
Or not to be mean, but. Yeah. Yeah. What I say every day of my
life. No offense. And then just, like, the most offensive thing you can think of. So, basically, this immediately started speculation as to what actually canceled the operation and why it was really called off.
Okay, and this whole operation is just to see if they should put a military base on Antarctica.
And allegedly to test both their equipment and the people in frigid conditions. So some people think it's because, obviously, this is when we were, like, rearing up into the Cold War. So they were thinking, like, oh, so that they can get good at fighting in the cold if we have to invade Russia.
Okay.
Byrd, after being debriefed, because these original interviews he gave are literally when he was just... So South America, obviously, is the closest... Argentina is the closest point to Antarctica. So that's where they go first, right? To get to solid land. He gives these interviews on one of the boats still. So he hasn't made it back to actually the port of Los Angeles is where they're going back to. And he gives these interviews. When he gets back to America, he gets debriefed and he never gave another interview again about the operation.
That's suspicious.
He was actually eventually forced into a mental institution for years, despite the doctors allegedly telling his sister, quote, there's nothing wrong with him. We don't know why they want to keep him here.
Admiral Byrd.
Byrd then died in his sleep of a massive heart attack at the age of 68, despite being in peak physical condition.
Oh, shit. They're coming after us, honey.
Oh, no, we're next.
Why'd you do this?
Every single time, I'm like, oh, no. So, obviously, already people are like, ooh, speculating. And also, like, whatever, people die of heart attacks. It happens. Like, sometimes when they're in good physical condition, or yeah. Maybe they had something nobody knew about, et cetera, et cetera.
An aneurysm.
But when you hear everything else, and you hear that he kind of was silenced, it makes it a little more suspicious, right? We know mm-hmm. the U.S. government loves to allegedly.
This is a comedy podcast.
This is satire.
This is all fake.
take out people they're not super into being around. Uh-huh. Couldn't manage it for Fidel, but who's counting those L's, right? All right. So anybody who's into, like, conspiracy stuff, like me, mm-hmm. knows that there is a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding Antarctica in general. And Operation Hydrump is kind of, like, at the center of a lot of these theories and is used to, like, link a lot of them together. Some of the theories have a lot of good footing and a lot of good backing, and some of them have very, very loose footing. And we're going to dabble onto all of them today.
Wait, where's my tinfoil hat?
You need to plop that baby on. All right, so more speculation starts to fly when allegedly a double agent for the USSR reports back to that government, to the Soviet government, saying that he had intel on what really went down during Operation High Jump. He allegedly said that the operation had been run off by high-tech planes that were faster and more powerful than anything any of the Marines or sailors had ever seen before. These planes could move extremely quickly and seemed to be impervious to attack from, because this is what's weird, they brought like a ton of military equipment down to Operation High Jump for it being like an investigative kind of thing. They mm-hmm. brought a lot of fucking guns and shit. And according to this report from this double agent, these weird flying crafts seem to not be hurt or injured or whatever by anything that they could throw at them. These were similar sounding to the Foo Fighters spotted in World War II by Allied forces. Do you know about the Foo Fighters?
I actually almost looked them up for something recently.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So that's where the name for that band came from, obviously. So the Foo Fighters were unidentified flying objects that were seen by Allied forces when they were in German territory. And they never attacked any of our planes, but or Allied planes, but they would like kind of hover around and they would move in like anti-gravity ways that were like impossible for planes or even helicopters to move. And they would have these blinking lights on them. So like UFOs, basically. And according to this report to the Soviet Union, that is why Operation High Jump had to flee after just weeks of being in the Antarctic Circle instead of months, which was the original plan. Remember, the original plan was to be there for 8 months.
Yeah.
They were there for like a little over a month, like 6 weeks.
And fleeing, as we know.
Never good.
Never good.
We don't want to be fleeing in the night. We don't want to be fleeing in the day. It was day all the time down there at that point.
Oh.
Because it was summer in Antarctica. They have like the reverse situation.
It's like Alaska. Isn't it like dark half the year and light half the year?
Yes. So it's the opposite.
Okay.
That's why. Like, so it's like daytime, you know, all the time, basically, in the Arctic during our summer. And then during the... Like, you know how Australia has the opposite of us, too. Like, yeah. Their summer is in our winter. It's the same thing because they're so close. They're both down there. And then that's when they get all the sun.
Okay.
Okay. So this would also explain why some of the ships were so badly damaged all but one of them had to be retired after this operation. Out of the 13 warships that had just been in war in World War II.
Yeah.
And this is where things get weird. After Byrd's death, a journal was allegedly released that had allegedly been Byrd's journal during Operation High Jump and the years after. The story went that he gave the journal to his son and told his son to release it after his death because he knew he was going to die soon.
Well, that's... like, come on. That is so suspicious.
This journal was filled with outlandish claims, including Hollow Earth stuff.
Oh.
Meetings with Aryans that live in the Hollow Earth. Meetings with aliens who told Byrd that humans were, quote, not evolved enough to be dealing with nuclear weapons. And that they made an agreement with the aliens or the Aryans. Not really sure. It's kind of mixed right there. On when they were allowed to abduct people. So they couldn't do it like willy-nilly. Like there had to be like designated areas. Like trying to make like, a treaty with these aliens. Also, the crappy thing about Hollow Earth theory is because it's so like directly linked to the Nazis and like a Nazi belief, of course, everything fucking comes back to like anti-Semitism. And that's what fucks up a lot of conspiracy theories is like racists and idiots like take hold of them and like use them to like benefit their shitty racist ideas.
Yeah.
So just so everyone knows, I don't believe any of those. That is not what we're doing here.
Hell no.
Just keeping that straight. So I guess that this meeting coincides with about 3 hours of missing time when Byrd had been flying in a very small aircraft and they were unable to make contact with him.
And gee, what's the one thing aliens love to do? Make people have missing time that is unaccounted for.
So this journal is quoted pretty often to make claims about what happened up or down there in Antarctica and to give credence to the weird stories about Operation High Jump and other Antarctic missions. The problem is the journal is most likely, and by most likely I mean like most people agree, that it is fake.
Why?
I guess there's like, so there's like a lot about this. I guess there are like parts of it that are written that are basically exactly excerpts from this guy's book who's like a UFOologist. And so they think that like he faked it and released it and pretended like it was Byrd's journal.
Well, it doesn't matter because we already know that the government knows about UFOs and aliens and that they're real.
That's
and they're
very
trying
true.
To, for some reason, I don't know why. Tell me why they're trying to not have people know. Why? I don't know.
No, I agree. Well, and so, okay, here's the problem. And I always bring this up when I talk about conspiracy theories of the government, because there's things it's like, it just seems so unrealistic or it seems like there's evidence pointing different directions. And the reason I'm always like mind open, front door fucking locked is because we have been lied to so many times throughout like official quote unquote reports.
Yeah.
And then it comes out in a weird way that I'm like, I don't know. I can't trust your official report,
government.
Yeah, we
don't know what the hell the truth is and what's not the truth.
Officially, MK Ultra never existed. You know what I mean? Like, and we literally know that it did.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to know what's true and what's false. I also, and this is just my own personal theory, I'm putting on my tinfoil hat right now.
Put it on, baby.
I think in an attempt to make theories that are true sound like to discredit them or sound incredible.
Yeah, sure.
Not credible. I think that the government will spread even bigger conspiracies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they're thinking a step ahead.
Because then it's like, okay, well, if we like make it like Nazi aliens who live in the Hollow Earth, that's unbelievable. And then people will just be like, oh, that's all bullshit, when like really one part of it's true. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they use like a bigger thing to like cover it up, to be like, oh, see how silly that is, ha 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 ha.
That makes sense to me.
So that's when we get into, during World War II, the Nazis actually did send expeditions to Antarctica, and it was making like everyone really nervous. Obviously, they said it was, this is in 1938, they said it was to try and protect their whaling industry. I guess Germany had like a really big whaling industry back in the 1930s or early 1900s. And they went up there and they claimed a piece of Antarctica that had been previously claimed by England. Of course, England didn't like this. This is when tensions are getting really high with World War II. And everyone is convinced that they're setting up some sort of secret Nazi base in Antarctica. So this is where the theories start to collide a little bit, where Hitler was up there buddying up to the aliens, which is why the Foo Fighters came in the latter parts of World War II and seemed to only be in German territory. Like, Hitler was, like, making deals with the aliens, being like, yeah, you can come over and abduct people all you want in the chaos of World War II. You can experiment on people. We're experimenting on people, too. Like, whatever. Come get them. And you can come fly around and check out our flying objects all you want. And as we know, Hitler was actually really, really into, like, the occult and conspiracy stuff like that.
Ugh, that makes me not want to like any of it.
Aliens?
No, Hitler liking it.
Oh, I thought I meant like aliens.
Oh, yeah, aliens, okay. And the occult and stuff.
So people like to theorize that after World War II, the U.S. knew that this was kind of going on. And we were like, we got to get down there to fucking Antarctica and get talking to these aliens. So next time there's like a big tussle, worldwide tussle, we get them on our side, not on their side.
Wow. This is a fight for the aliens.
Right?
I like that.
Some people think this is proven because the Roswell incident happened only a few months after the operation was terminated.
Oh, shit.
So people like to link this to, like, aliens coming to America. And then after that, alien abductions and UFO sightings were huge, right? Mm-hmm. And then they kind of calmed down in the 1950s. And people think that's why there was an expansion of the national parks in 1952, because there are rumors that the U.S. government went up there and made negotiations with the aliens and said, listen, you can abduct people, but you got to stop doing it all over the place and being crazy. Like, you're going to get caught. So you can do it in these designated park areas, the national parks.
Yeah.
And that's why the missing 411, this is one of the big conspiracy theories behind the missing 411 thing.
Oh my gosh.
This story has everything.
Literally. You're also tying it all together.
Also, shout out to like the random dude at a bar that gave me the idea for this
Stop
story.
Stop it right now. What's his name?
I can't even remember.
Jeff?
Sure, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
No, I was at a bar and with my boyfriend, and my boyfriend like kind of knew this guy or used to know this guy, or like both of their ex-girlfriends were friends, and so they had met a couple times. And so he just walked up and was like, whoa, hey, what's going on? Like, Andrew, what's going on? And Andrew's like, oh, it's my girlfriend. He's like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, I have a podcast. And he was like, oh, you got to do Operation High Jump.
Wow.
And I was like, there's not really that much to it. And he was like, no. There is. And I was like, all right. So here I am.
Wow. Love to take a story from a drunk guy at a bar.
Oh, yeah. He probably doesn't even remember meeting
Fantastic.
Me.
Fantastic.
He had one eye closed, I'm pretty sure. So these rumors flare up again in 2017.
What?
When a Nazi era bunker was discovered in Antarctica by a Russian team of scientists with well-preserved Nazi documents, bullets, and other items that had been almost perfectly preserved due to the extreme cold and dry conditions in Antarctica.
I was thinking about the things being preserved when you said those people were buried there because it's so cold and in the snow, like everything...
It's cold and it's dry,
yeah.
And there's not a lot of predators. There's a lot of penguins.
Penguins and polar bears.
No, polar bears are other side of the world.
Oh. Well, I like penguins.
Yeah, penguins and polar bears would never meet. They're literally on opposite ends of the earth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
One's in the Arctic, the other one's in the Antarctic. South Pole, North Pole, baby.
You'll learn something new.
You'll learn something
every
new.
Every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, everything must be so well preserved because it's cold.
Which that's why it's weird that they can't find that site where the plane crashed.
Very weird.
And the dead bodies. Which, for the record, there have been multiple expeditions to try and recover these bodies. But the U.S. Navy said that they will not send anybody to try and get them. So it's been private expeditions to try and find these bodies. And they have not been able to even find the crash site.
Fucking hell.
Yep. And the people who crashed, like, the guys are still alive. Or they were. Like, I read an article from the early 2000s, like, late 90s, that was on the Wayback Machine. And one of the guys who was in the crash was, like, talking. He was like, I still have no idea to this day why we crashed. And he was the radar technician. He was like, there was nothing on our radar. I don't know.
It just happened?
Yeah. He said suddenly it felt like they were just chilling. And then suddenly it felt like he was just like frozen in time because the plane was falling.
Did any of these people come out and say what they think?
No.
Or are they're silenced?
Well, I mean, he said, like, I have no idea why we crashed. Yeah. And then he said, like, they left us out there for 13 days.
And how did they survive?
They apparently had, like, food rations on the plane, like, just in case of an emergency. Oh. And since three of the people had died, they had three extra rations, obviously. Yeah. But they survived in, like, literally the middle of Antarctica.
Damn.
Okay. So, obviously, officially, this is still very much a classified operation, which is already weird because if it's just there for training and stuff, why is it so classified? There has been stuff that's been declassified, but not all of it. And there's a lot of confusion as to why this really expensive, really, really exciting operation would be canceled because of bad weather and ill preparation. Like, why would they not prepare better? Why would they not know that the weather's going to be bad? Why would they not try again? If it was just, like, a particularly bad summer, why would they not try again if this is something they really needed to do?
Yeah. And why would they spend all that money to just stop it after a month?
Exactly. So due to all the rumors and strangeness, this is still one of the most hotly debated corners of, like, the conspiracy world. People talk about this quite a bit, and they link back basically everything to it. Because we have so few answers, it's really easy to almost put whatever you want on it. But no matter what happened up there, the U.S. did drop a nuke on Antarctica in 1958 during Operation Argus. So whatever they found up there, maybe they did want to get rid of it.
Yeah, of course they did.
The following year, in 1959, so the year after they dropped the nuke on Antarctica, the Antarctic Treaty was signed by Argentina, Belgium, Chile, France, Japan, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, the Soviet Union, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And keep in mind, once again, this is Cold War era. This is one of the only treaties that both the United States and the Soviet Union were in together with unanimous agreement.
And what did the treaty say?
One of the main agreements in this treaty was, quote, there shall be prohibited any measure of military nature, such as an establishment of military bases and fortifications, the carrying out of military maneuvers, as well as the testing of any type of weapon in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. This was re-ratified with more countries in the 1990s that also said there was not to be any drilling, not to be any mining, and not to be any oil production in the area as well. Which, does that sound like us to sign something like that? Unless there's a fucking reason we shouldn't be up there?
Yeah. It's just so fucking suspicious.
It's like suspicious. We're
literally, it's like the epitome of trying to hide something.
Yes. And so, like, the thing is, like, that's why I'm like, okay, whatever. Even if that bird journal was fake, whatever.
You're still hiding something.
There's still so much other evidence that I don't even need that journal. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then people like to say, oh, well, the double agent, we gave him wrong information to trick the Soviets, da 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 da, all this stuff. And it's like, bro, something weird was going on up there. And also, if it ties into the Foo Fighters in Germany during World War II, like, doesn't that just make sense? Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not, like, a hollow earther. I don't think, like, that part to me seems very outlandish. But I could definitely see, like, Antarctica is not, there's nobody who lives there. It is the only continent with no native peoples.
Yeah.
So that means there's nobody who lives there regularly. No one's going to be stumbling across something randomly. Like, the only time things go there is for scientific expedition. It's literally the only reason. I actually really, really, really want to go to Antarctica. There's a cruise you can take that takes you over there, and then you can, like, meet the penguins and stuff, and, like, check it out. It just seems really cool to me.
Well, I would love to meet the penguins, but I don't want to be stumbling upon things that I shouldn't be seeing.
You can also meet penguins in Chile, I think, and probably Argentina.
Listen, I met a penguin in Florida.
Those little macaroni guys. They're the cute ones.
I met a penguin in Florida, and that's enough for me.
Was he nice?
He was very nice.
That's cool.
He was very cute.
But yeah, so the weird thing about this whole situation is just that nobody really knows why. Also, you can see, you can like observe space or whatever the best from Antarctica. So there's like an observatory down there too. Like they have stuff down there.
Yeah,
like,
that's why it's for scientists.
Yeah.
We don't go there.
But I just think like there's something weird going on down there and I just don't know what it is. And I want to know so bad.
You think something still is going down?
Yeah, I do. Because you literally can't... first of all, people just hang around, like, the edges of Antarctica. Obviously, they're not, like, going up to fucking the South Pole, like, right in the middle. They're just chilling on, like, the periphery.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there is something going on. And also, wouldn't it make sense for aliens to, like, go chill there? Like, it'd be the same idea as, like, aliens chilling at the bottom of the ocean. Because they're like, I know nobody's going to come bother me.
But what if aliens don't handle the cold well?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, what if aliens can't go underwater? I don't know. You're asking me a lot
of
questions.
They can in a USO. Is that what it's called?
What? How?
Unidentified
submerged object.
I could be making that up, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
USO.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think that there's something shady going on there. I want to know about it. I also just want to go to Antarctica. It seems really cool. I want to take the cruise there, but it's like $5,000.
I just don't understand. Why is the government still trying to hide this kind of stuff?
You know why I think they do it? Because they're doing even more fucked up stuff. And so I think they like to like give us little parcels of things that they've done in the past to be like, you guys were right. We totally did that 60 years ago when everybody who could be face consequences for it are already dead. And then that distracts us from all the stuff that they're doing right now. And then they'll tell us more stuff in 60 more years.
Do you think that perhaps they're... So you know how you were saying they were trying to make deals with aliens? What if Antarctica is this base where they do operations? So the deal is... the aliens can operate on our people and we can operate on their people.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But yeah, that's like basically they're saying like you can abduct people, but like you got to play it cool, man.
And those three guys didn't die. They were operated on.
I mean, I definitely think they died because I was reading interviews with their friends who literally buried them in the snow.
Well, maybe they died,
yeah.
But then their bodies could have been taken.
That's what I'm saying. I think like
for research.
I think it was moved.
Yeah.
And I think the crash site was moved, and I think the bodies were moved, because why would they not be able to find them? They knew exactly where they were. They had the longitude and latitude.
Yeah.
Why would they not be able to go back and find them? It's very strange.
And then they just said, oops, we don't know.
And then they're like, actually, just kidding. We're going to leave Antarctica forever. Bye, everybody. And then there hasn't been, like, a real Antarctic expedition since the 1950s. There are still, like, research teams that go there and stuff, but, like, on a governmental level, not for a very long time. Crazy, right?
Wild.
Yeah. So that is the little conspiracy theory surrounding Operation High Jump and Antarctica.
That's not a little one.
Well, what do you think it is?
I think it is what I just said.
You think it's aliens and they made a deal to...
I think they're experimenting on each other. Like, we'll give you one of ours for one of yours.
Okay. It's a little trade-off situation.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see aliens. I don't think the Hollow Earth thing is real. I don't think there's an Aryan race living secretly in the Hollow Earth. I don't think that the Nazis have been secretly living. Like, there was, like, all this stuff, like, that Hitler was there living in the bunker or whatever. I think, if anything, he was in Argentina. I think Hitler died, for the record. But I think if he
did live... Well, you just said he was up there talking to the aliens.
Well, yeah, that was before he died.
Maybe?
Well, he never went, I don't think, but other Nazis did. But a bunch of Nazis ended up in Argentina. Literally, U-boats were showing up, and they were, like, hiding there and
Listen,
stuff.
I like to think aliens are more on our side, and they're like, fuck you, Hitler.
Think about it. I think that aliens would just think like they would be so above us. They would think of it as like monkeys fighting over bananas. They wouldn't even take a side.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like if they're zooming around in these things and like visiting other planets,
they don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit. It's like being at a zoo. You know what I mean? Like the reason we care is because we're humans and we care about humanity, but it's like we also let animals be slaughtered in the most horrible ways all the time just so we can eat them. I would imagine aliens would look at us like that, like how we look at cattle.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. I just want to be friends with an alien, you know?
I know. I think if anyone could get to them, it would be you.
Thank you.
Much love.
Much love. Peace and love.
All right, your turn. You said you have a fun one, right?
I have like a cute little sexy time. Okay, so today I am going to talk about the Kehoe House in Savannah, Georgia.
A haunting?
Of course.
I love it.
But of course, but my of darling. Course. So my sources today were hauntedhouses.com, savannahterrors.com, an article on Savannah Now by Ocha Edenfield, Mysterious Trip by Ankit Sethi, thehauntedplaces.com, and Wikipedia.
Go donate.
Go donate. So first we're going to get into the history of the Kehoe House. And that begins with William Kehoe himself. So William Kehoe was born in Wexford, Ireland in 1842. And when he was about 10 years old, his parents immigrated to the United States with his 8 other siblings. And they settled in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, Georgia, you say?
Georgia. Savannah.
Southern Peach.
That's right.
I actually just read a book set in Georgia, and it was really fucking good.
I would love to go to Georgia.
I'm down. Let's go.
Let's go. We can go here.
Oh, we can go visit our friends at Night Classy. Don't they live in Georgia?
Hmm.
I thought they did. Because they went to the Guidestones, didn't they? R.I.P. Guidestones.
Fact check me. I don't know.
Fact check me. I'm the one claiming things.
So, specifically, there was an area in Georgia called the Old Fort neighborhood, which was basically a Irish immigrant settling community.
Love it
already.
So
they all just went here.
A lot of potatoes getting passed around.
I was going to say, I imagine a lot of angry people.
Angry potatoes.
And I can say
whiskey.
That because I'm Irish.
Me too.
So as William grew up, he found work making bullets during the Civil War, and then he later started working for the Savannah Machine and Boiler Works as an iron molder. And although he came from a very poor family and had very little education, he managed to kind of climb up the ladder of this like iron working world, and he ended up eventually owning his own business called Kehoe Ironworks.
We love a blue collar man.
That's right.
I love a blue collar man.
I just love a man that, I mean, I love anybody really that can kind of come from nothing and then become very successful.
Do you want to know? Okay, sorry. Side.
No, tell me a sidebar.
Because, you know, I always talk about sayings that people get wrong.
Yes.
And people say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you know where that saying started from? Because it's impossible to actually pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So the saying was originally like tongue in cheek, being like, oh, what do they expect me to pull myself up by my bootstraps? Like, I need help. I need assistance.
Ah.
So when people say, I believe in pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, they're actually fucking idiots who don't understand the sentiment of that statement, which is saying that's impossible.
You need help.
You need help. That's the whole point, is that you cannot physically pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Try to get out of a hole by pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't. That's the whole point of the saying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We need a little name to call you when you throw down some sayings, you know?
One of our patrons actually messaged me and said that they love when I say like my little fun facts, and that they'll go home from work and tell their girlfriend like, oh, did you know that da 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 da? And apparently the girlfriend's always like, yeah, of course I knew that. And I
was you're like, an idiot.
And I was like, okay, my new goal is to have a fact so good
that the girlfriend doesn't know.
The girlfriend doesn't know it.
I like that.
That's literally all my only goal in life now.
All right. I like that. So when William Kehoe was 26 years old, he married the love of his life, which was a Southern local woman to Savannah named Annie Flood. I know that my accent got a little
British. Yeah, there it did. Also, Annie Flood.
Annie Flood.
That is the coolest name I've ever heard. She sounds like an action character.
Yeah. But I wasn't. Her. She was just a really sweet Southern lady.
She might have been action-y. I don't know.
Who knows? Well, she was action-y because together they had a shit ton of children. So she was popping them out like bing, bang, boom.
She was clearly sexy.
That's right. So pretty early on, one of their children, who was a young Annie, that was her name, she actually died when she was just a teeny tiny baby, but they still ended up having a total of 10 kids after she passed away.
That's so many kids.
It's a lot of kids.
I can barely take care of myself.
I know, same.
It's so shocking when people have so many kids like that. I guess when you have that many, they start to take care of each other.
I just don't, in my opinion, like, maybe just two per adult. And that's...
Even then, you're outnumbered. Yeah. I don't want to be outnumbered.
I just say, like, max for me. That would be, like, absolute cap.
So, four kids?
Yeah, I wouldn't have four kids, but that's just... That would be the max.
Listen, she was hot. They couldn't stop boning. You're right. There was not good contraception back then.
You're right.
It's not her fault she's so sexy.
I agree.
Her name's goddamn Annie Flood.
Annie Flood. So, throughout the years of William's life, he actually was a pillar in his community. He had multiple iron companies, and then he founded some loan companies, and he was the director of the National Bank of Savannah, and he was the director of the Electric and Power Company in Savannah. He was on the Board of Commissioners for the county, and he was a member of the Georgia Historical Society.
I love these people.
So he really, like, he's like, yo, I'm done slinging potatoes, I'm coming to America, and I'm gonna immerse myself in my community.
I love that for him.
Yeah.
He's a jack of all trades.
He is. In 1885, he actually built a house in Savannah's Columbia Square for his family. But as his family and his businesses began to grow, 7 years later, he built another home across the square for $25,000, which was much bigger than his original home. And he moved him and his big old family in there.
Love it.
And this house soon became known as the Kehoe House.
Okay.
So this house is absolutely stunning. It is this beautiful Victorian mansion. It had 13 rooms. On the outside, it's lined with red brick and terracotta moldings. There's columns all over the place. There's bay windows. There's multiple porches, patios, balconies. It is gorgeous.
All I want is a porch.
You don't want multiple?
I mean, multiple is fine. Wrap around, that's great. I just want a porch. I want to sit on a porch and drink a whiskey.
You have a balcony.
I do, and it's not the same.
You're right.
It's not the same because I need like a yard or something. And
you want to be like, hey, get off my porch.
No, I want like someone to drive by and I do like that real slow wave where I just put my hand up.
I know that one.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to be able to do that.
Maybe one day.
I'm like, look at my clovers. My clovers are coming in real good.
You never know.
I've been reading a lot of books based in Georgia and the South, and it's really been
making me... They really have the prettiest homes.
They're the way they're describing these porches, yeah. Man. Swings on the porches.
Yeah, usually.
Hammocks on the porches. Uh-huh. Ugh, if only.
Southern fried chicken.
On the porches.
On the porches.
Iced tea.
And what makes this home very unique to William Kehoe's design specifically is that along the outside, like moldings, is they're all made of cast iron.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because he was real big on iron.
Makes sense. Bring it back to your roots, baby.
So the Kehoe family enjoyed living in this house for over 30 years together. Annie Flood died in 1920, and then William died of pneumonia in 1929 at the age of 87. And once they passed away, the remaining children, which there was only about 7 of them left at the time that their parents died, they sold the house and just moved out of Georgia completely. So from here, the Kehoe House became the, I'm going to say this wrong, but the Goette Funeral Home. And it remained this way for almost 50 years.
Why do you feel like you said that word wrong?
I don't know. Goette.
How's it spelled?
G-O-E-T-T-E.
Sure. Yeah, Goette seems right. That's how I pronounce it.
I'm just doing my best here.
Unless it's like French. Go away funeral home. That's actually a good funeral home name.
That is a good funeral home name.
Also, I'm so sorry. Another sidebar. I was looking through my notes on my iPhone.
Uh-huh.
And I just had one that said funeral home receipt. And then, like, whatever the two dots are. And it just says, thank you. Come again.
Is this your idea?
I'm assuming I must have just had this idea like in the middle of the night of like how funny would it be if a funeral home's receipt said thank you, come again.
Right.
Like at the bottom of like a takeout receipt.
No, I get it.
But I don't remember writing it down. And like the note was saved at like 4:24 in the morning like 3 years ago. So I'm
like, you know, keep that one in your pocket.
You never know when it's going to come in.
You never know. You might need it one day.
But yeah, I was like, man, this is the funniest thing. I'm sure, like, I can just imagine myself at 4:30 in the morning being like, waking up from like a deli. Oh, God, this is going to be so funny.
This one's going to kill.
And then I just forgot.
You like that?
I didn't like it. I damn loved it.
So
sorry, I keep interrupting
that's
you.
That's okay. This is a fun, sexy time we're having. So after it was the funeral home for many, many, many years, it then became a boarding house for a quick minute until the 1970s when NFL superstar Joe Namath bought the property for $80,000.
Joe Namath lived there?
Joe Namath. You know that guy?
Yeah.
And his intention for this property was actually to turn this into a nightclub. He was like, this would be a dope-ass party scene. But the community of Savannah was like, fuck no.
Yeah, fuck
Mr.
you.
Joe Namath.
Fuck you, Mr. Namath.
We live in a quiet little neighborhood. You aren't going to come around here with that music.
Mm-mm.
So Joe was like, all right, fine, whatever. And he actually restored the property back to the way it was when it was the Kehoe House.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then he sold it in 1989 for $530,000.
Wow.
And he only paid $80,000 for it.
Wow.
So this guy knows what's up.
They always do.
And that's when the Kehoe House became what it is today, which is a very luxurious bed and breakfast owned by the HLC Hotel Group.
Well, you know what's so funny? Immediately, I was like, why has no one turned this into like a cool hotel?
It's a bed and breakfast, and it's so pretty and so cute. And this company is actually a Savannah property group that owns 6 boutique hotels and bed and breakfasts in the area, 5 of which are haunted.
Oh, they're killing the game.
Literally. And the Kehoe House happens to be one of those most haunted places.
I want to go. Can we go stay there?
We can.
I haven't even heard and I still
Yeah, you haven't heard
go.
Yet. So the thing I loved about this particular place is that all the spirits here seem to be very nice and there is absolutely no bad energy in this place. And the thing that everyone always says about the Kehoes specifically, like William and Annie, were that they were always very nice, giving, caring people. So that just kind of seemed to stay with them in the afterlife.
Hey, I like that. Like you put out positive energy, you get it back.
I know.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing when it comes to staying at the Kehoe House is that you are absolutely going to hear the sounds of children.
All right. Never mind. I don't want to go.
Well, they had a million kids. What do you expect?
And I'm happy for them. Not for me.
Not for you.
Hashtag not for me.
So one of the rumors or stories that is often told, but for the record, cannot be 100% like fact checked. They don't know. It could just be a rumor. Is that, like I said earlier, when William passed away, he only had 7 out of his 10 children left. So it is believed that William and Annie had these two twin sons. And when they were about 5 or 6 years old, they were playing hide and seek and running around the house. And they ended up climbing up into the chimney.
Oh, no.
Getting stuck.
Oh, no.
And dying in there.
Oh, no.
And in this story, it took several days before the family realized that the two boys were missing. Because once again, they had 700 kids. And they only found their bodies after smelling the foul odor coming from the chimney.
I read a book when I was a kid. I can't even remember what the name of it was. If any of you know, please let me know. Where someone got stuck in a chimney and died, and they didn't find them until they tore the house down and they found the remains stuck in the chimney.
No, that's a true crime story.
Is it? Yes. What is it? Whatever it was, I was obviously not age appropriate, but I was reading. I read about that when I was like a little kid, and it's been like a irrational fear of mine since I was like 10.
I don't know. I can't find it, but I know I've seen that story before.
Either way, I read about it when I was like really young, mm-hmm. and it has been. I didn't even grow up places with fireplaces.
Yeah.
And it has been an irrational fear of mine getting stuck in a fireplace to the point where when I would watch the animated version of The Grinch, there's like a part where he gets stuck in the
chimney
and he's like worming his way. It would give me such bad anxiety. I would have to close my eyes during that part.
It is scary.
It's so scary. Yeah. I'm also like extremely claustrophobic. So, just all of it.
So regardless of if that is a true story or not, it is told in like all the haunted tours that they do in Savannah. And guests and staff members of the bed and breakfast have reported hearing the sounds of little feet running up and down the hallways at all hours of the day and night. Children's voices and laughter have been heard. And for the record, no children stay here. This is like adults only.
Yeah.
So there's never any kids around. Typically, these sounds happen on the second or third floor, which were believed to be the bedrooms of where most of the children stayed when it was the Kehoe family living there. And there's just tons of sounds heard of kids running around and playing together. Sometimes the kids like to cause a little mischief here and there. They like to pop their heads into rooms and then disappear really quick when someone sees them.
Amanda, you would never survive here.
Cut me a little slack. You don't know.
You saw a little girl in my apartment and you lost your mind.
I forgot about her.
She's still here probably.
Stop it.
Okay, sorry.
I'm going to cry.
I'm going to cry. See what I mean? You don't even have to sleep here overnight.
I know. Sometimes the kids like to turn the lights on and off. And on occasion, they've been known to rifle through guests' luggage just for some fun.
Rude.
A little rude.
Just like a kid.
But they're just having some fun. Some staff members have also reported hearing the voice of a young boy echo through the halls, asking them to come play with him.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't like that
part.
That
sounds very scary.
I know. For the most part, this is a cute haunting.
Come play with me.
Why did I know you were going to do that?
Please.
Okay.
Amanda.
Enough. Rooms 201 and 203 in particular are said to be the most haunted. A woman that was staying in room 201 one night reported that she woke up in the middle of the night to the feeling of a tiny soft hand running through her hair and touching her cheek softly.
Oh, absolutely not.
And when she opened her eyes, she saw the apparition of a little boy who quickly disappeared.
Absolutely not.
These two rooms are also the most reported sightings of William's wife, Annie.
She sounds nice.
She does sound nice.
And cool.
Like I said, she was always known to be a very sweet and friendly woman, so no one ever feels scared by her presence. She's often seen making her rounds along the third floor during bedtime, like she would when she would go say goodnight to her children and get them to go to sleep and possibly tuck them into bed.
All 10 of them must have taken like 3 hours.
Probably. A former owner of the Kehoe house claimed to have felt a gentle kiss on their cheek after getting into bed and laying down.
Okay, that's kind of cute.
Yeah, she like comes around and like tucks you in.
But also I would scream and cry. And shit.
And then she would have to clean the bed. She'd be really upset.
Yeah, she'd be like, what the fuck? I was just trying to be gentle and sweet with you.
Yeah.
And you're pooping and crying in my screaming. Bed.
In room 203, Annie has been seen and felt sitting on the bed while people are trying to sleep, and a little indent kind of goes by their legs. And she's also been seen sitting at the desk in the corner of the room, just kind of like writing some little notes or whatever for the day. People also often smell a very strong scent of roses, which allegedly is the smell of the perfume that Annie wore. So she's just like out here. She's living her life and she's
living her afterlife.
And she's just trying to make sure everyone's tucked in and ready for bed.
Listen, she's a good hostess.
I agree. And of course, the Kehoe House would not be a proper haunted place unless the man who designed and created the building in the first place made an appearance. So William Kehoe's office was on one of the higher floors, kind of like away from everybody else. And it is currently a room that is nobody ever goes in, really. So it's just sitting away from everything. But people often see the light in this room turn on in the middle of the night and then go off during the day.
Makes sense.
Like somebody is still up there working.
Yeah.
It has also been reported that William might come in through the front door sometimes. So one of the most famous stories told was from the concierge. And she said that she was sitting at the check-in desk one night when she heard the doorbell ring. And she could see through the glass door, and she looked up, and there was nobody there. So she just ignored it. She saw that the door was locked, and she kept going about her business. And then the doorbell rang again, and she ignored it, and it rang a third time. And then all of a sudden, the door unlocked itself and flew open.
Ooh, that's not good.
And she believes that that was William Kehoe letting himself in.
Fair. All right. He's like, this is my house, bitch.
That's right. I created this. And although most of the energy is good, you know, mainly from the Kehoe family themselves, I did read one report of some people saying that they hear sounds of like gurney wheels sometimes during the middle of the night. And they believe since this was a funeral home.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Duh. I was like, gurney wheels. Yeah. I forgot it was a funeral home.
So maybe people were like wheeling dead bodies around. And there have also been claims to see a apparition of a man with no legs floating down the hallways and standing in people's doorways. But once again, anyone who has seen this person does not feel scared by him at all.
Yeah, it's all like positive energy.
Yeah, and they don't do anything to you. They just kind of are there.
They're just there.
Yeah.
Once you accept that just aliens...
Aliens on the brain?
Yeah. Once you accept that ghosts are just seeing you naked all the time.
I know. Awkward.
They see you pooping.
Awkward. You don't...
Just like...
You don't like that.
Just like Jesus Christ and Santa Claus. You know what I mean? They're seeing it all.
They see you when you're sleeping. They know when you're awake.
They know if you've had diarrhea or if you ate a good steak.
Ooh. Good one.
Or if you claim to be vegan but you ate some steak. The ghosts know.
So just to close out, I'm just going to read three of the TripAdvisor reviews that I found on the Kehoe
House. Love this
house.
Already.
You know I have to. So one person wrote, "This place is rumored to be haunted, if you're into that sort of thing. I was convinced after hearing children playing in the hallway at 4 a.m. Another person wrote, "Pros and cons, depending on personal opinion. This hotel is haunted."
I love that.
"I came in a harsh skeptic to anything paranormal, but experienced something on my first night that has changed my opinion for good. Frankly, I'm a bit embarrassed to even write this, but in good conscience, it was a large experience during our stay. The staff was very kind about the whole thing and assured me all spirits of the Kehoe are very friendly. This also doesn't seem to be a common experience with guests. I guess I'm just lucky. So don't let it deter from staying here."
All right, fair.
I want to know what happened to this person, but...
just lucky, quote unquote.
Yeah, they're very cryptic. And lastly, someone wrote, "Doors getting locked from the inside, forces holding doors from opening, things getting moved inside room. Two people in our group could hear sounds of children laughing and calling for mommy. One at 12:30 p.m. on the third floor and another at 3:30 a.m. on the ground level. But there were no kids staying at the inn. Management said only moms can hear the children. Dads never hear the voices. No joke, this place is haunted.
Oh, that's very interesting. I like that.
Yeah. So
also, it reminds me of my bathroom, how sometimes you just can't open the door.
Oh my God, I know. I've gotten locked in there before.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like someone's holding the door. Yes. On the other side. Yeah, it's not even just like, oh, it's stuck. Like, it literally feels like someone's holding the door on the other side.
You've
yeah.
seen me panic where I'm like, Cassidy?
Yeah.
And you're like in the kitchen. You're like, what?
And I'm like, I know. It happens to me too. You just got to lean in.
So this place is a little pricey. It's like, I think the cheapest is $200 a night.
It's not too bad. Hotels are expensive these
days,
man.
It's very luxurious. Like, they bring you, it's like all room service, and they bring you, it's turn down service and all this.
I'm down. Let's
incredible
go.
Incredible stuff. And fun fact, Tom Hanks stayed here while filming Forrest Gump.
Ah, my favorite movie.
Favorite movie. The most fun movie we've ever watched.
I hate that movie so much.
So this is the Kehoe House in Savannah, Georgia. And
let's go. I'm so down.
If we ever go, we should definitely splurge on this luxurious hotel.
I'm totally down. That sounds really fun.
And there's like so many. Did you know that Savannah is known to be the most haunted city in America?
I'm the one who taught you that when I did a story about Savannah like 100 episodes ago.
That's crazy. Like, you would never think Savannah, Georgia, of all places.
Yeah. Really, I would. Like, when I think of Savannah,
really?
Georgia, I think of, like, fucking Old South.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Ghosts in those big-ass dresses.
Ghosts,
you know what I mean?
Ghostess with the mostest.
Yeah. I think of, like, the ghosts in, like, the petticoats and all that shit, you know?
Yeah. So I want to go here.
I'm down. Let's go.
Okay.
I've never been to Georgia, I don't
Me
think.
Either.
Maybe I've driven through it, but I've never like hung out there. All right. So we have a listener story today from Emily.
Emily? Didn't we just do one?
What?
We didn't just do one from Emily?
Do you know how many Emilys we have as listeners? Emily
Good
is like a very
fucking
common
point.
Name.
I'm an idiot.
You're like, another Caitlin? A Rebecca? A Rachel? Who would have thunk? An Amanda?
Shut up.
All right. So Emily says, new listener here, starting from the beginning, so I have a lot of listening to go. After a few interactions with people, I am led to believe that there are some ties with the Fae that I might be in the middle of.
Oh.
I'm doing my best to take an approach like the Irish ones I've heard of, where I don't publicly acknowledge them in the day-to-day, but keep very wary signs of them just in case. We love a fairy story.
Fairies.
I've been going through a process of estrangement with my parents, to whom I was a scapegoat for about 9 years now. Putting myself in charge of my bills and taxes, getting a new phone and new number, moving somewhat frequently so that they wouldn't know where I lived, leaving and getting involved with very different communities and groups as I did this. The whole nine yards. First of all, I just want to say, good for fucking you.
Yeah.
If you have people in your life that are toxic and that are not good for you, good for you. Like, when I hear this stuff, it makes me so happy because I think so many people want to be like, oh, but it's your family. No, fuck that. If your family's toxic and you are happier, healthier, and better without them, be better.
Yeah, and you're taking the steps to get away.
And that is so hard and so brave. And so, Emily, I just want you to know, you're amazing. In that time, a few people, some friends, some strangers, have noted a connection to a very specific type of fae called the Gon Ki Na, known for seducing women and leaving them to die or conning men out of valuables.
What?
It was specific, right? I've never heard of that before. It was specifically people who I did not know that described to me the issues with my mother's fertility and her asking for this being to help, which was brushed over by my parents but emphasized when I stumbled onto some sperm donor paperwork late in the 80s and early 90s in their home, which I never had a reason to share with anyone. One friend who suggested this was in fact the daughter of this being. This fae connection was in my blood. I brought up the name alone in a video chat with a few friends without the personal context or the incidents that the others had had in the past couple months. and one began to appear as if she were consulting someone else in the room that wasn't there. I got concerned when she seemed concerned, and I tried to check in if she was all right. She sounded very strained when she tried to change the topic to something else.
Wait, she's communicating with fairies?
She was, like, talking to a friend on FaceTime, basically.
Okay.
And the person started getting weird after they started talking about this fairy.
Okay.
Is what I'm gathering. When we pushed, she started speaking in a voice that wasn't hers.
Oh, no. Like a changeling.
Informing that my mother had made a deal with him so she and her husband could have a child of their own, but that she needed to have one first. That the name I had spoken for him was filthy and looked down upon, and that as my father, he would try to track me down to claim my life to maintain his youth before I got, quote unquote, too old.
Stop it. What the fuck? This is a movie.
Again, don't know how much of that I chose to believe, but a bunch of coincidences tied into one very specific and not well-known fae seems really unlikely. Back to her normal voice, she seems exhausted. My friend told me that since I'd likely be tracked through my mother, that I've gone out of my way to disappear from her radar entirely, I was far more safe than his other quote-unquote children. But I should still keep some sort of protection charm close until I turn 30 in a little under 5 months. Taurus baby. Oh my god! Taurus babies! Fact or story... This seems like it's more than out there enough for the podcast. And if y'all hear of a mysterious death of a 29-year-old out of Pennsylvania in the next few months, I guess you two have the supernatural inside scoop. Emily.
I hope you don't die. Why would you say that?
Emily, first of all, you're a badass. Second of all, that's a fucking bonkers story. And I love that. I just love that they put, I don't know how much of it I believe, but it's a really weird coincidence. Like, that would totally be me.
It is a weird... That's a really weird coincidence.
Emily's clearly a Taurus. That is such a Taurus reaction to such, like, an extreme
Emily
thing.
Emily is not only a Taurus, but also a cool kid, clearly.
The coolest of
open
cool
mind.
Kids.
Open mind. Mind's wide open.
Wide open.
I love this.
Thank you, Emily. We absolutely loved that. If you guys have a story you would like to send in, you can do that at dtkpod.com/contact. You can also find our P.O. box there. Under support, you can find our merch, which we have that new merch. It's really cute. Like I said, if you order in the first month that we have it released, you get 10% off. And you can also find ways to review us. So if you're enjoying the podcast, please go and review us. We love that.
Please, please.
Drop those 5 stars and make Amanda's brain happy.
My heart.
Heart and brain.
That's true.
But most importantly, make sure you keep that front door locked.
Make sure you keep your mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid.
So gassy. One time that I don't know why. It was like the one time I was 100% convinced. I was like, I know I left the curling iron on. I know it.
Was it on?
No.
Yeah.
And I was all the way by Dunkin' Donuts and I had to turn around.